Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Oh, good morning, everybody. I'm Greg Hahn, President and Chief Investment Officer for Winthrop Capital Management. And with me today is Adam Koons. Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Portfolio Manager and Head of Trading, and also our Production Coordinator here. Shout out. Hi, Amy. Thanks for getting all set up here again. Okay, a lot of news to cover. Did anybody watch the Oprah interview with Harry and Meghan?
No.
I did. It was very revealing. Like what? Last night, nothing else to watch, I guess. So, but I learned a lot. I'm still a royal watcher. And my wife's been watching The Crown. So that's kind of ties into the whole thing. But I thought the most fascinating thing last week was a painting by Winston Churchill that he had given to Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And then somehow Brad Pitt bought it for $2 million. So Angela Jolie sold it for over $11 million last week. So
good for her.
That's the news out of the British monarchy. So let's turn to domestic affairs here. So I think the big issue that's going to be the markets are going to focus on this week is going to be the fiscal stimulus package that did pass the Senate on Saturday. So now it goes back to the House for a final vote. And I think they're going to do a procedural vote today or try to do it. And then hopefully it'll get voted on Tuesday, I guess. Mm-hmm. I say hopefully, I don't know. But $1.9 trillion in addition to what the $900 billion that came in December. So this is more aid to individuals. At the same time, the economy is showing signs of accelerating. The jobs numbers are improving. Job growth is improving in the service industries. And that translates into higher interest rates.
Yep.
So the 10-year, you want to talk about rates?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty volatile last week. And I know there's a lot of attention on the VIX for stock markets, but I'm always watching the MOVE index, which is essentially the same thing for rates, was up. It's up 50% this year. So that tells you how much rates are moving. But we went back to 1.5% on the 10-year. So what, you know, from the start of the year, the 10-year rate is up 50 basis points. So hefty move there, but just to give us some relative nature to the 10-year, this time last year, or right before, you know, COVID kind of really became an issue, we were bumping up against 2%. So, you know, there is still room to run to the upside, but right now what we're seeing is, and you're hearing this in the news, is another operation twist may be on the way where the Fed begins to buy long bonds. And you're seeing that kind of come through what the curve is doing, because the last 3 days in a row, the belly of the curve has been higher, where the tails, the long end, the short end, haven't moved at all. So kind of interesting moves you're seeing in interest rates.
And so the Fed, obviously Powell spoke last week. Mm-hmm. So the Fed has a lot to say about this. And right now, I mean, Powell's basically saying the economy has a lot more room to move, a lot more room to grow. And because of that, the Fed's going to keep these aggressive monetary policies. But we all know that markets lead whatever the news is. So the markets are looking at this and adjusting rates higher, even though the short-term interest rates are locked pretty low. And the question is, how long is the Fed going to let this go? If we really do see our base case right now for 2021 is that we see an acceleration in GDP in the second half of the year as the economy opens up. Unemployment will fall sharply as demand for workers increases as the economy opens up. So we're going to see demand for these slack resources get absorbed pretty quickly. And so the question is, how long will the Fed then keep these policies in place or change how they're signaling to the market, which will let interest rates rise? And you and I disagree a little bit on this.
We do, yeah.
So I'm in the camp that we could see 100 basis points of increase in the 10-year, in the yield on the 10-year Treasury. But I think as we talk to different people, there's an argument for rates to go lower too.
Yeah, so pretty divided, I agree.
Let's transition to earnings. So we're kind of through earnings season. What's the takeaway for earnings this quarter here?
Yeah, so I guess you call it unofficially done. So 75% of companies beat their guidance. And the caveat there is obviously that guidance and the bar has been pretty low through the last year. So on the surface, it obviously looks good. We're beating, and we are seeing growth in certain sectors. So I would say overall, I mean, the tech sector has just been knocking the cover off the ball. But it's the same story, right? If you're in the right sector, you're in the right industry, your revenue is at all-time highs. You continue to beat expectations. But then, you know, there are other sectors where it continues to be a struggle. You're still not back to pre-pandemic revenue levels and profitability. So I would say it depends. But relative to the bars that were set, it was a good earnings season.
So what do you see for 2021? What does the rest of the year look like, do you think?
So you saw a lot of companies actually raising their guidance quite a bit. Raising the bar for expectations going forward. So because of that, I think, you know, we're up against the risk that investors start to fade the rally where you see valuations are, you know, frothy. The expectations on earnings is starting to rise. So that's kind of sets you up for, you know, a difficult earnings season if there's just even a little bit of hiccup, or if these stimulus packages don't really get the consumer going the way people think it's going to.
Right. So what are the I have not had time to review what's in this new stimulus package as it relates to commercial mortgage loans, but there's been aid for forbearance. But what do you see the risks right now in the economy going forward? We've talked about commercial mortgage loans, which is why I bring that up. What other risks do you see?
So, I mean, even in the on the residential side, it's estimated that 30% of home mortgages are in forbearance as well. And so the question is, you know, once that forbearance, that 12-month forbearance comes off, which will, let's just assume that people put their mortgage into forbearance in April, because that would probably be when you had lost your job, it was difficult to make the payments. So we're about to hit that 12-month cap. And once people have to make that payment again, is that you quickly see some of this excess cash in the system just evaporate. You have the same thing on student loans. You know, you can defer student loans right now. I don't think that's as big of a problem, but once again, it's just another hit to... Yeah.
It makes it hard for young people to buy homes.
It does.
There are also cities and states that don't work. What's coming out now, the studies are showing that during the pandemic, city tax collections actually weren't impacted right. for a lot of state and local governments, but there are cities with that are having difficulty, and I think Chicago is one of them, that the numbers don't add up. So I haven't, again, I think in the bailout or in this fiscal package, there is $350 billion to help with specifics on state and local governments, but I don't know how that's supposed to work, to be honest with you. Right. I know the Republicans have been really careful about a bailout for some of these municipalities. I want to just comment again on Europe. So one of the challenges we have is investing internationally is there's this tendency to look at investments and look at mean reversion. Like, hey, we're going to revert back to the mean. International has been lagging. We should make sure we're our exposure there. We should increase our exposure or change our exposure. And specifically in the emerging market piece of this, I did some work this weekend because it's been a trap, I think, for investors. And the challenge today is that so much of the index is Asia. 67% of the index is represented by China, Taiwan, and Korea. 67%. Yep. And it's almost 50%, I think, is right now is China. I think it's 48% is invested in China. And you go back to 1988 when this, you know, China didn't get into the emerging market index till 1996. So when in 1988, when this thing was first formed, it was literally about $19 billion market cap. Today it's $8 trillion. And it just, you know, Malaysia was the biggest country. I think Malaysia, Mexico, and Brazil were the three largest. Today, those countries are less than 20% of the emerging market index because it's just the Asian countries have grown so much. Right. And China is the second biggest economy, is still classified as an emerging market. So I was thinking about it, and it's like investing in this MSCI emerging market index and trying to compare it over its historic period is like driving the Indianapolis 500 and changing your car into a different car every 100 laps.
Yeah.
And then seeing how well the car did.
Right.
It doesn't make sense because you're comparing something that isn't really constant and isn't comparable. So to look at mean reversion on something where the underlying constituents change so dramatically, I think is a real danger for investors. So in rethinking that, we talked about it, and we broke China out separately from the index. We still have to deal with what our view on Korea is, and then also how to address the smaller constituents. Right. But then you look at those smaller constituents, and some of them aren't investable.
Sure.
You know, it's there. You've got coup going on.
Right.
And it's, or, you know, democracies that, and you don't have capitalism. So that's the real challenge, is how do you really kind of view this asset class? But it's like everything that's done so well in the last 10 years, it's up over 9%. And, or since 2000, it's up over 9%. And you look at it and you say, well, you know what? It's doing well. I'll just focus on something else. Well, we have to focus on this because it's going to be an issue, I think, in terms of how the globe responds to the pandemic. Right. So, all right. Anything else on your plate?
Nothing here.
Nothing here, huh? So why don't we end it early? Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you through the week.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.